Okay, folks, welcome back to the Inside the Mix podcast. If you are a new listener or viewer on YouTube, don't forget to hit that subscribe button and that notification bell so you get notified whenever there's a new episode or we are live, as we are right now on YouTube. And also, if you're a returning listener, a big welcome back as always. So today, this episode, rather, is an episode of the Producers Pub. So we have returned after a summer break. If you're unfamiliar with this format, basically I have some guests, artists, producers with me today, and we are going to play a 30-second snippet of a piece of work of theirs and then just talk about it afterwards. Before we dive into that, if you would like to join me and my fellow guests, if they return, which I hope they will, on an episode of the Producers Pub, you can click on the link in the episode description and sign up. Alternatively, you can head over to InsideTheMixPodcast.podia.com or Inside the Mix Podcast, and you can get signed up there. So without further ado, I'm just going to check YouTube, and there's no one there at the moment. That's usually how it starts, but hopefully it will increase. We are going to start with our first song. And we actually have they're joining us from two separate locations, but we have both members of Beat Bakery. And that is our first song for today. So take it away, Mike. What can we expect?
Hi, I'm Classic Mike from Beat Bakery with my co-producer and co-founder Hypnotist. Thanks for having us on the show. So today we have sent you our track Boxes featuring Michelle Suzanne. And it's your typical house, piano house, club banger to get everybody up on the dance floor and get everybody raving.
And the song itself is about when you meet someone who ticks all of the boxes that you are seeking in a relationship.
Very cool, guys. I love the description of a club banger. That's always good. Now, just for the audience listening, I don't listen to these songs. Well, I listen just to the beginning, just so I know there's actually audio there. So this is always new to me as well. So I haven't heard these either. So here, make sure I play the right one as well. That would help. Here we go.
Open my eyes and check my phone. I can't wait to see your message. Every reply just goes to show you're not trying to keep me guessing. I felt so jaded by the games people play. Oh, oh, oh. You came along and made me feel some type of way. You're taking all my
Now, it was a bit longer there, folks, than 30 seconds because I wanted it to get to the chorus. I didn't want to stop it abruptly because obviously that's what we want to hear. I could definitely hear the house vibes going on in there. You've got that classic house bass going on, that sort of bass sound which you'd find on like a Korg M1. And also with the piano as well, you've got those stab chords going on there. Really, really cool. How did you find your vocalist, by the way? Is that someone that you knew? Very good vocalist. Is that someone that you sort of, is that a top liner that you commissioned maybe on something like Vocalizer or something?
No, we're actually good friends with Michelle. We met her through a networking event in 2020 and we talked a lot about collaborating. And then finally, 2 years later, after the madness in the world had finished, we decided to actually create something. And this was the first one we finished.
Amazing. And just out of interest, I mentioned the bass sound and the piano. What VSTs are you using for those? Or is it the same one? I mentioned the Korg M1. That's the one I use for that sort of sound.
Yeah, we actually use the Korg M1 for the pianos. And I have a few pads from that Korg M1 as well. And then I use Serum for the bass sound.
Very cool.
Just so that we could give it a little bit more automation and modulation movement than the M1 allows.
Yeah. So whilst I've got both of you here, because you're joining me from different locations, how do you go about the creative process of songwriting? Does one of you take the lead and then send it to the other one? Or is it a case of like you just back and forth ideas?
So usually I'll start out with a rough basic idea. So normally I'd come up with maybe the chord progression, or I'd come up with the concept for the song idea potentially, and I'll then pass it over to Hypnotist to just to work on it a little bit more, and we'll bounce ideas back and forth until we get it right. I mean, we often sit down and work over FaceTime, or we'll meet up at our studio down in South London and just go from there. But we always combine and bounce off ideas off each other, and we tend to think along the same composition style. Like, we both have similar influences, and we both play all our instruments as well. So Hypnotist is a very talented pianist. I play drums and guitar, and I love drumming house tracks just because it's so fun.
Amazing. So you're quite blessed then, really. You've got sort of like this melting pot of different musicians, which is always nice to have. And being close to each other is quite helpful as well in the big smoke of South London. I've been there in a while, to be fair. I will sort of spread it around. Eric, Dream Commander, what are your thoughts? Do you have any thoughts?
Yeah. First of all, let me get my mic up here. I just wanted to say that if you're going for like a high energy kind of feel, you've definitely nailed it on this one. And I'm not really that much of an expert on the genre of house music, but it sounds like you guys know what you're doing, and it's pretty solid, I'd say, for the production side. As far as like a creative kind of input, I don't know if you want it or need it, but it might sound cool if you added a little maybe more pad in the chorus section to kind of like open up the vibe, or maybe you could do that in like a future chorus to kind of build on top of what you already have. But yeah, other than that, I'd say you guys are really doing well with that track in particular. And what part of the UK are you from?
We're both in London.
Oh, nice. Awesome.
I'm actually Irish, but I live in London.
Right on, man. Right on. Yeah. It sounds really cool.
Thank you.
Brilliant. Thank you, Eric. Yes. London. It's about two and a half, 3 hours, I think, from where I am. Well, I would do a visit. as always. I'll probably be dragged there at Christmas, to be honest. Christmas shopping, that's generally what happens. I was there recently, actually, for a podcast festival, which is quite interesting. Actually, I tell a lie. I might be there in London. I think I was planning on going there next month because there's a Dusk Wave Synth Fest in London.
That sounds interesting.
I'm going to slap myself on the wrist now because I cannot remember the date. I think it's the 14th. I'll put it in the chat, actually, after the episode. But if you guys are available, strongly, and it'd be great to meet up as well. Thomas, what are your thoughts?
Yo, hi. I think it sounded very well produced, and it really sounds kick-ass style with the forward-sounding folded bass line, you know, the synth. And I think this can be a good club song for playing in club music. I think those songs are written for club music, like playing in the club for dance floors, and I work as DJ too, so sometimes I play such music, although it's not my personal sound I like or listening to in my private singer, but I think this production could work on the dance floor, definitely. 4 My Years was well produced, very clean, and this is a must in that genre, definitely. So I think it was quite good. I wanted to ask you, this folded synth sound you used at the end of the snippet came in, like when the main bass line. How do you do that? Because I try to get those sounds in my tracks sometimes too. But which plugin you use for that?
Do you mean the main bass sound?
It's not the kick drum, the synth. There's a it's
like a pulsing synth.
Yeah, maybe we can hear in the last 10 seconds again. I can show you, but it's possible.
I was going to say, do you want me to play the last 10 seconds again? I can quickly do it so we get a bit of context. Here we go. First, I'll play the last.
Mind, thank you.
Yeah, of course. I'll play it from about 40 seconds.
Yeah. Fuck.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. I mean the bass synth sound, not the kick drum.
Okay.
Bass sound. The ears in the upper frequencies just folded, light distorted. We say in Germany, we say knort to that.
Yeah.
I don't know what the English translation is for that.
I understand you now. Yeah, we're actually using, so that's the Serum synth, and then I have a chorus on it, and I'm distorting the chorus, which is probably what you're picking up on.
You use a chorus effect.
Yeah, I'm using a chorus on a, it's kind of like a classic house bass, as Mark pointed out earlier, with a bit of FM oscillation. And then I'm using a distorted chorus, layering it on top of the bass to make it super wide, because we really love Joel Corey, and he has that kind of sound.
Okay, that's interesting. Cool.
Excellent.
I will try that next time.
I highly recommend it.
Yeah, it's a new technique. Never heard about it. Great.
Fantastic. That's the benefit of this particular format, of this particular show, is that you can like magpie. I do it all the time. This is the benefit of me hosting this every sort of month, is that I can steal ideas from other people, and it's great, you know. And it's a really, really good, because you're always learning with music production, which is the great thing about it. But Beat Bakery, fantastic. So we'll now move on to our next singer. I was going to say singer then. I think it's... if you could just mute your microphones, folks, I can hear someone sort of furiously typing, but it's okay. So we'll move on to the next one, which is Dream Commander. Eric, what have we got coming up?
Yes. Hey, how's it going? Well, this song, it's called Actual Malice, and it's part of an EP I've been working on that I hope to finish soon in the near future. So my brand of music is kind of more instrumental focused, more kind of mood driven and almost kind of soundtracky. And this song in particular, I think I was kind of inspired by like Harold Faltermeyer and the kind of 80s stuff, like Fletch, that soundtrack. Axel F is kind of like the one that everyone knows, but I'm kind of a big fan of like the Fletch theme. So that and kind of like a mystery detective kind of vibe influenced this track. But then I kind of have my, it kind of goes into another section that's kind of a little more of a, my standard sound. But yeah, I don't know. It was pretty fun to make, and it was like kind of focused heavy on drum programming, which is not really, a lot of my tracks don't really focus that heavily on drum stuff, but I am a drummer, so I should probably maybe go that direction. Anyways, I'll let you guys check it out.
Fantastic. Thank you, Eric. And you're in good company. There's been a number of producers on here who echo the Harold Faltermeyer, notably Russell Nash, who I know is a massive, massive fan, as a lot of them are anyway. So let's give it a go. I can immediately hear the Harold Faltermeyer in that in the beginning. You know, I listened to it and I could picture it being played in one of those, in like a film akin to Beverly Hills Cop, which is obviously Harold Faltermeyer. But you can definitely hear that. And you've got this quite interesting sort of almost jazz-esque sort of composition going on there. It's quite an interesting sort of choice of sounds and how they're interplaying. It's really, really cool. How are you going to take that forward? Is that something that is that how this whole song is going to progress, or is it going to be a bit more uniformed?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So I actually did have the finished track kind of completed, and it kind of goes in a lot of different directions, to be honest. It kind of bounces around and kind of ends off in a weird place. But I think, there's definitely like a jazz influence in that The form is kind of open and not necessarily too strict to any kind of formula. Just kind of feeling based on what this part sounds like, maybe try to build off of that to another vibe. But I don't know. I kind of mess around with different approaches for each song. So, but thanks for your feedback.
No, I think that's the best way to do it. And it's kind of like the more I get it playing around in my head, I can picture it, you know, in those movie scenes where there's like the cop who is like doing a stakeout or like breaking in somewhere. And you've got that quite weird sort of, not jazz again, but jazz-esque sort of sound and like composition going on. It's quite like an unnerving sort of sound. I think it sounds really cool. And it's different to what I've heard from your other stuff, which is great as well.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm always trying to kind of stretch out and do different things. But yeah, hearkening to what you're saying about the jazz, whatever you call it, influence. I think there was like a fusion movement in the 80s that was kind of, influencing a lot of the score composers. And they were trying to kind of push the boundaries of like melody and all that, you know, with their own stuff. I think that kind of started in the 70s and kind of pushed into the 80s with like, I don't know, jazz fusion. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I roll with it, man. I think it sounds great. And like I say, I think stretching yourself and what you're able to do is a great thing when it comes to songwriting and sort of like pushing the boundaries and even like the expression of like doing something that makes you not necessarily feel uncomfortable, but takes you out of your comfort zone. I think in terms of compositions, it's only going to be good, you know. But I love it. I think it sounds great. It's a really, really fun piece of music. But I'll pass it around. So let's go to Brody Hypnotist. What are your thoughts?
We'll be right back.
So I've got a hunch about a common struggle we all face, mastering. If you're an independent artist or music producer, you've probably encountered the frustration of masters that just don't hit the mark, right? They lack balance and refuse to play nicely across different devices and environments. Ever found yourself wondering, why don't my masters sound like my references? Perhaps you've spent countless hours attempting to master your tracks only to be unsatisfied with the results. Maybe you've tried every Silver Bullet plugin or even dabbled in AI. Or perhaps you're already working with an engineer but you're eager to explore different possibilities. Well, here's the solution you've been searching for, Synth Music Mastering. I'm offering a game-changing opportunity with a one-time free test master for a limited time. Picture elevating your music with my unwavering commitment to quality and a personalized touch that you just don't get with the big mastering studios. The best part, it won't cost you a penny. Just submit your finished mix and let's see how we can transform your music together. Don't let mastering be a mystery any longer. Say goodbye to the frustration and step into a world of sonic excellence. Grab your free test master now. Click the link in the episode description or head over to synthmusicmastering.com.
Hey, I thought that was really cool as well. I thought instantly the vibe was there. And I also thought it was quite fusion-y because I like a lot of fusion music. I think you've done a great job of production. The first thing I thought was that the sounds are massive. I love your bass drum. Is that from a kick or is it from drum machine? Sorry.
Yeah, that's a good question. Like, I think that's a mix of two drum samples. One is like an 808 kick. And then I just kind of have like a release that I tied to it to make it, I don't know. I have a lot of problem with the 808 like release for some reason being consistent. So I kind of like mixed the two together so it would be like very, reliable sounding. And then the kick in the second section is just like another sample that's kind of different. But thanks, yeah, for asking. And thanks for your feedback.
Yeah, I thought it was really nice. Very, very lush sounding.
Fantastic. We'll go to the next Beat Bakery. Mike, what are your thoughts?
Hey, guys. I'm a massive 80s fan. And I definitely love the vibe on that. Definitely, like you're saying, sound like a bit of a cop show, some very Beverly Hills kind of cop kind of vibe. And I love the soundscape on it. It's just so massively wide. And I really, really like that. I love the bass sound when it first came in.
Awesome. Thank really you. Cool. I actually like took one sound and kind of made an octave up from that. So they're just kind of in unison on an octave away from each other to get that sound. It's like a fake chorus effect, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's a really good thing to do with basses. I think I've said it on the podcast before with bass sounds in particular. I think I did a tutorial episode where I had like an actual bass guitarist playing bass, and then I had another synth laid on top of that, which was providing a different texture, sonic texture, so they weren't like competing in the frequency realm. But it's a great thing to do, and layering synths. I went down the path of too much layering at one point, and I had to rein it in. But that was you've always got to be careful of that, I find. Thomas, what are your thoughts? Laser Cop.
As Mike just said, it's this Beverly Hills sound, or Beverly Hills Cop, so Laser Cop and Beverly Hills Cop, it's the same thing. I directly started having this 80s movie sound feeling on in my head, and the first thing I was like, I was a little bit so, okay, what is this right now? Because I didn't get the beat at the beginning, but when the beats got opened up a little bit, starting with the chords in the back, said, yeah, that's cool. Right now, yeah, now that point is cool. This is the one I like. I personally do not like the slushy snare sounds in my person view. I generally don't like those kind of snare sounds, even in hip-hop music or rock, other music styles. I never use these sounds, but this is the choice of the producer. It's your personal favor if you say you wanted to do this. It's okay for me, but it was interesting. It's a specific kind of music. I've never heard this before in that kind of somebody doing it today. So I will definitely have a listen when it come out, hopefully soon, and we'll check the whole vibe because, yeah, it sounded good. It was interesting. Also, I had this a little bit prog rock music at the beginning with those not fitting, like just four on the floor beat or something, you know. And so as a musician, I need to listen to it sometimes again and again to check those points. And that's making it interesting because if you understand the music in within seconds and say, okay, I got everything from that song, this is still, it's like, yeah. It's too easy then, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. What was the adjective you used to describe the snare again? It was like slushy or something?
Yeah, I just said that. It's like this that sound you use, you know? It's not my personal point. I don't like these snare sounds in general. So, but if this is your choice, it's your choice, and it's okay for you because... Yeah,
no,
you're the producer of that track. You know?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, but I'm just curious, like, how would you improve it if you were in my shoes?
What snare I would use?
Yes.
Yeah, I would try to use classic rock snare.
Okay.
Like in the 70s, has been used, could fit the sound also. A modern rock snare would a little bit too, yeah, it's not, this would be destroying the sound vibe you want to get. So just try, yeah, like 70s rock snares, like Led Zeppelin, John Bonham style or something like this.
Very cool.
Maybe that could fit also.
Very cool. I'll give that a try because I didn't think of that.
A John Bonham sounding snare would sound really cool, man. You got that sort of like big room. I'm trying to remember how they recorded their snare. I'm fairly certain they actually had just a huge room. It might have been Led Zeppelin, it might have been another band along those lines. I can't remember now.
I think you're right, Mark.
I'm absolutely not Led Zeppelin fan, but I like the drummer. He was a monster, definitely. So I've seen videos of that guy. That's cool. So use any kind of analog recorded snare sounds from the earlier times with that classic house, not too very too much compressed or something, just rough like the guys did in old times.
Yeah, there is like a couple different snare sounds from that era. So there is like a more muted, dead, dry sound, and then the Bonham drum sound is a little more open and a like kind of reverb-y. But yeah, I'll give that a try. And John Bonham is like one of my personal favorite drummers, so. Excellent.
Very good. Very good. I'm fairly certain, I'm thinking about it now, that they had the drums and then they maybe mic'd it at the end of a corridor, or it might have been a big like stairwell and they had a mic at the they were doing all sorts of really crazy stuff when it came. That was the great thing about, well, you can still do it now, but like a lot of the recording techniques. And I went to Hansa Studios in Germany, and they went through how they would just play out the sound into the room, then record it, just the room itself with the music being piped out into the room to capture the room's ambience. It'd be great. I mean, it's all well and good if you have that access to those big studios, but the thing is now, like Thomas says, you can just find a nice analog recorded snare with that nice open sound, which would be really, really nice. Excellent stuff, folks. So now we move on to the final one. Thomas Lasercop, what a bit of a description about your song that we've got coming up.
Yeah, it's the latest song I'm working on. Last year, I released my full-length record, and then I just concentrated more to DJing around a little bit in synthwave music. So now I just started like, okay, we need to do a new song, and just planned a single. And this is right now the production stage, so just a little bit mixing so that it sounds okay. There's not final mix, there's no mastering on it completely, so this is pretty rough. And the song is called Invaders, and shall show some this typical 80s movie alien invasion threatening things, you know, from action movies from that time. And I've seen this, there was a movie from 1990 with Dolph Lundgren in the main role with this We Come in Peace. I can't get the title at this moment right now. And I think Angel Corp was this typical massive bullshit action movie, exploding cars, alien invaders shooting people with CD guns, and it's like, was really pretty weird thing, but I really love this trash kind of movie. And this one inspired me to say, hey, that's I loved it, and let's do a song pretty much forward. Synthwave music I'm totally into, and Lasercop is like synthwave, my personal synthwave music project. I'm used to play in death metal bands normally, but the thing is you can do this on your own, so I do synthwave music. Yeah.
Excellent. Death metal all the way, Thomas. I did the same. I was playing in a death metal band, as the audience well knows, and I made the move over to electronic and synth-based music purely so I could do it on my own. So
keep some ears open. We release our record in, I think, January with a new band.
Nice.
Classic, nice. Old-school death metal from Sweden style.
Is it Melodeath? Are we talking Melodeath? Are we talking like Carcass?
Nah, it's like
stuff?
Old-school Entombed, Ancient Tomb. Boss metal music, like I will show you some later when I got the masters from the studio. Then I
can please do. I'll be very interested by that. Nice bit of Entombed. I haven't listened to Entombed for ages. Anyway, I digress. Thank you, Thomas. Just play this track. So this is Invaders. Very cool. I like the little soundbite you've got going on in there. That's really nice. What are you using for your sort of bass arp? What patch or VST synth are you using?
I mostly use SynthMaster 1 VST plugin. It's from the Turkish producer KVT Production, I think. I really love that thing. Although they got the SynthMaster 2 out, I more prefer the first one. And also, I use Omnisphere, like the most of you guys hopefully do. And that's also, I like working most with the SynthMaster 1 all-around synth kit that's a pretty good synthesizer with cool presets. You don't have to search very long for an inspiration and then just easy some clicks. And you can change, adapt like you want. Yes, definitely.
So with regards to the composition itself, because it's very sort of, it's like that fast-paced, up-tempo sort of song as it is, how is the whole sort of composition going to play out? Is it going to sort of drop in tempo? Are instruments going to drop out, or is it going to be continuous? Is it going to be at that sort of fast
pace? It stays on that tempo. I do not do any breakdowns in tempo. Like I shoot some breaks later. There will an instrumental solo coming in. So my ongoing workflow is to adapt rock songs arrangements. So I describe this music sometimes. I made like their rock songs don't play with guitars. I have verses, I have a refrain, I have another second verse, second refrain, the C part, outro refrain. Huh? So I use always those structures and the song will be around 4 minutes. And that would be good for me because usually when I will come to an end, like, then you can put in this part and this, and that would be cool. Like the end, 6 minutes, like, it's too long, it's long, you know? And so it's my focus for the next compositions will be to not stay longer than 4 minutes on the tracks. And that's the point.
Very good. I like what you said about the sort of like breaking down rock tracks and sort of like recreating them, which I really, really like. I could definitely hear like you could, I don't know if there's space for it potentially, but like actual guitars, like distorted guitars on it. I don't know. I think you may need to make space, but it's hard to say without hearing the whole track. I'll pass it around the room. Eric, what are your thoughts? Dream Commander.
Yeah. So first of all, I really like the track. It sounds really cool. I can kind of hear the dark influence, the metal a little bit in the bass, kind of that like pulsating, almost double kick kind of feeling, like kind of fun kind of vibe. And I kind of agree with what you're saying too about trying to give yourself a little bit of a boundary on the length of a composition, because I kind of struggle with that as well. So I just think that's a really positive way to look at it. As far as like the track itself goes, like I could kind of see it going into so many different directions. Like I can hear like drum breaks, like one or two bar drum breaks where it just kind of like deviates from the main groove. And there's just like a little kind of, you know, like kind of a, almost like a mini drum solo. I can also hear like a more like a string pad, maybe like a high string pad kind of permeating above everything, just kind of coming in at some point to provide sort of like a more of a texture in the higher end. I'm not sure if you do vocals much, but I mean that could go either way probably, in my opinion, but I think you have a really solid like foundation for whatever the track is going to be. Obviously, you probably know, but we can only hear a few seconds. So,
okay, yeah, thank you for your comments. First of all, I'm not a vocalist, and so absolutely have no skills in singing, and I would always be, I always need a singer or a singeress for that. And this time I just said, no, I don't want to plan vocals in it. I just cut off some film samples. Yeah, you couldn't hear it at this point. They will show up in the beginning. I got some samples like from Terminator movies or something. At the end, I will have some more movie samples to give the song the face, you know, it was like connected to the title and Raiders. So this is all out. Cut it out from movies with alien invaders inside or some threatenings, you know. And so with the strings you said, this is the beginning of the song. This is quite from the first minute of the track, so it's the opening part of the track you heard. And you said strings. I always use chords, like you maybe heard at the end of the snippet. You have that chord flow because I love that. It's but yes, as I said, it's production stage. The song is not final written yet, so I've all chances to change different things and turn around. And yeah, usually I use also synth pads, strings for like outro parts more. At the beginning, I mostly start rough, like straight going forward, and then I just okay, now we got some melodies, we got like some opening up, we got slow down for a moment. Yeah, so with the boundaries about the songs arrangement, yeah, it's not a 100% must. I've said it's like just a plan, and that's a little bit it's my style. I just used to do that in that way, and because I'm a great friend of pop music structures, because it's easy, it's ongoing, and I know that's part from my DJing. So it's one of my main jobs, and I do DJs in clubs here in Frankfurt, and I'm used to that the people are, yeah, suited to those kinds of arrangements. Everything else is some, oh, that's interesting. So, you know, so I just took over. It's like, even in metal music, you have some pop structures in the tracks. So on most of them, I said, yeah, it's cool. I like that, you know, so why do changing? Just simple questions. So.
No, that's brilliant, Thomas. I'm with you on that. I too, when it comes to songwriting and arrangement, I'm very influenced by pop arrangement. Now more so. When I was in the metal band, man, we used to do crazy arrangements. I remember we had one song and we didn't repeat a riff throughout. It wasn't quite prog, but it was good fun. Playing it live, on the other hand, was a challenge. Remembering all the riffs, but hey ho. But no, I'm with you there with the structure as well. And I think with pop structures as well, the songs are inherently shorter, because pop songs generally are the ones that are specifically played on the radio, being sort of anywhere between sort of 2.5 to 3.5 minutes.
Yeah, at the end, it's not my intention that that song shall be played on the radio. Like I absolutely do not expect any commercial success for that kind of music. So just because this is a very niche music, and the other thing is, the most people I've met from the scene are ex-band members of metal bands. That's quite, that's quite funny. And there was one point I've seen this in this very huge synthwave Facebook group. There was one guy complaining, I've put so much effort in my new record. I posted the link here and nobody seen it or comment that's bullshit, shitty guys, and all that stuff. And I said, yeah, the point is, everybody, I just wrote him as a comment on the point is, yeah, as you can remember, everybody here is an ex-metal band member. Because this band split up because nobody listened to their music in earlier times. So exactly those guys are waiting here for your new record not to be heard. And it's like, it's the same shit, you know. It's like so yeah. I do it for my own, pretty much. I think usually the most musicians say, if you listen to your own music, this is a little bit like, it's not well seen. I like my music because that's the way I want to listen to music, you know. So why should I listen, produce music I don't like, you know? You know what I'm trying to say?
It makes perfect sense. I think
That's the sound I like. So let me do this. You know? I can't do tracks I don't like. So
yeah. And it's I had this conversation with Pashag on the producers podcast a few months ago, and he said the same. He's like, and I think you do. I think more specifically when you are writing music as an individual or even as a duo, I listen to my own stuff. Admittedly, there are times when I stop because I've probably over-listened to it, but I think I create it because I like it. So I create stuff I want to listen to, and it makes perfect sense. 100%.
I've absolutely props to commercial music producers who do commercial music because they know they're going to be a commercial banger, although they don't like that kind of music, you know? So they can break down their own idea or a sense of music. Like, so can you imagine that? We got here in Germany, we got this Schlager pop called, like the folks music or something. It's totally huge. They're playing shows in front of 80,000 people. Like, this is like small, cheesy electronic shit music with bullshit lyrics. I hate it as hell, you know? And so they got producers in the background. They've been paid for the songs, you know? And those guys are metalheads. And they sit there like they are in the position to produce music for this girl like Helena Fischer, maybe you heard about her. I can't do that. I never can do that. When I hear a commercial, very successful Schlager song, I said, dude, I can't program that. Yeah, it's not a problem. It is like this. It's like, sit at home and do this. Like, no chance. It's not because it is heavy to produce or like difficult or you need some. It's your mind. You're just telling it, I can't release that. It's not possible. You know?
Yeah, I think it's artist integrity as well, I think, comes into play there.
Integrity is a good word.
Yeah. In the interest of time, I'm just going to pass it around the room here. Mike, Beat Bakery, what are your thoughts on Laser Cop Invaders?
So I really liked the separation of styles you had there. I definitely could see it going like a Genesis type way, like Land of Confusion era, that kind of drum sound. I really, really like it. And that, but no, I totally get what you're saying. If you're not like happy to produce in that style, then don't. I mean, I played in metal bands for the best part of 10 years growing up, switched over to hip hop, then transitioned over to dance music and house and EDM and that. But yeah, but I just feel that all of that gave me the skill to produce dance music and that. It all intertwines at the end of the day. Because, you know, you've got the heavy hitting kicks from metal music that come into it. You've got the heavy bass sound that comes from hip hop. And it all intertwines, but I really like what you've done with the track. I like to see where it goes and where it ends up. I think you've got really, really great 80s sounding stuff there, man.
Yeah, thank you. Cool.
Yeah, it's kind of like the sum of your parts, aren't you? It's great that you, like you mentioned there about hip hop, you got metal, and you've got these different genres, and you've got the EDM sort of influence coming in. You can sort of take bits from each different genre and then create your own identity, your own sound. Yeah, and I think that's the best thing to do. But going back to what Thomas said earlier about sort of like almost ghost producers writing songs who are metalheads for pop music, I could see why they would do it. I mean, it's a lucrative business, but I guess it depends on sort of what you're... Yeah, exactly. It depends on what you want to get out of the industry, isn't it? I mean, if someone wanted to buy a song off me for an X amount of money, I don't know. It's an interesting one, isn't it?
Yeah, I accept that that people are doing that because I run a club here in Frankfurt, a small one, which do pop music parties like 90s party, current chart parties, hip hop parties, you know, and everybody working in the club is a metalhead. That's so funny. And so we earn with the money with that because the people come inside, drink beer, pay an entrance. And so I started doing DJ for that because, yeah, why shall I pay someone 500 euros for playing the songs I know from Viva Television music from earlier times also. And plus like the skills to switch the tracks or just made up. This was very easy in my opinion. And so, yeah, it's a dream to work for that you earn money with the music you really love, you know. So I earn money with music. That's a dream I always had. So, but it's not the music I love, but I can do the music I love with the money I've earned with the music I not love, you know. So
yeah,
it's nearly the same, you know.
Yeah, you're still in the music industry, aren't you? That's the key. Hypnotist, so the final bit of sort of feedback. Brody, what are your thoughts?
I thought that sounded really nice straight away. Good vibe again. I also particularly noted the separation between the kick and the bass I presume you're sidechaining somehow with that. And I kind of thought it sounded a bit like, not exactly like, but you draw an influence from Depeche Mode, who I really love. And it sounded really kind of like upbeat and like it was about to launch into a Depeche Mode song.
Okay, cool. Yes, I use a plugin called, wait a second, Time Space?
Oh, Track Spacer?
Track Spacer, yeah, thanks, Track Spacer. Yeah, this is a very great plugin to do side compression and this side chaining. This is, I love that tool, it's so easy. It's, as I saw the commercial about that, it's one of the guy who produced that. It's just said, like, hey, this the, I bought it for €49 and he said this is the best €49 you ever can invest in your music production. I said definitely. So just put in on the track, just for the instrument, just put it in. It's like, okay, like at this point you put it so much side chaining on like one loop, putting like, okay, it's cool. Sounds great. It's amazing. So I really love that. You can use a multiband compression for separating whole frequency phrases, that's okay, but for every trinkle space, a single track layer in my productions, I always use the Track Spacer. That's a most important not sounding VST plugin I got. Yes,
fantastic, thank you, Thomas. Track Spacer, I've heard that mentioned a few times. I know there's a number of producers I'm aware of that are using it. I haven't used it myself, but I'm well aware that it's used in a lot of productions. Gents, it's been a pleasure, but we're coming to the end now. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the opportunity to go around and describe where our audience could find you online and if you've got any key dates of anything coming up. So if we start with Beat Bakery, where can our audience find you online and have you got any key dates or releases coming up?
So you can find us across all the socials at Beat Bakery UK. And important dates we've got coming out, the 6th of October, our brand new single, One More Time, featuring George Bone on V Records, is being released. And we're also playing a gig in Box Park on the 6th as a little launch, like little launch for the single when it comes out as well.
Fantastic. Excellent stuff. And we'll go with Dream Commander. Eric, where can we find you online? Have you got any releases imminent?
But yeah, you can check out all my old releases over on the usual platforms. And I have a cool, important date coming up, live performance October 7th in Portland at No Fun. It's if we have any listeners in that area of the world. And I'll be playing October 13th in Seattle with this guy, Tommy Capello, who was in The Lost Boys, this movie. So he's like a saxophone guy. And yeah, that's about it. Thanks for having me.
Fantastic, Eric. Hold on a minute. Is that Tim Capello or Tom Capello?
Sorry, yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, Tim Capello.
You're playing a gig with Tim Capello of Lost Boys fame.
Yes, oh, exactly.
Amazing. Fair play. He's I'm a fan of Gunship, and he's done a few tracks with Gunship, notably one of their recent releases. That's going to be amazing. Make sure you get some video footage of that and get yourself a picture with him as well. You should get
absolutely
him.
I'll invite him out.
Yeah, have a chat with him, get him to feature on one of your songs as well while you're there. That'd be a good little win if you can get it.
Sounds good.
Amazing. If I were in Portland, Oregon, I totally would go to that. It's a bit of a trek for me in such a short space of time. But that's brilliant. And finally, LaserCop, Thomas, where can we find you online? And what have you got any key dates?
Yeah, so first of all, thanks for having me on that nice round here. You can find me on Spotify, on Bandcamp, so just typical things. But I would much more prefer if you found me on YouTube, because from my first record, my first EP, we made a handcrafted anime movie. My good friend David made it by hand, like 5 minutes with the Laser Cop doing an old-fashioned action movie, you know, and this was a shitload of work, and this shall be a little bit more seen. As well, I got their 1 hour DJ set filmed with some more cameras and nice cutting and producing, where you can meet synthwave music. I will play as a DJ on the party if it's possible. And also, as well, we got some more tracks on there. It would be cool if you just go around to the YouTube channel of Laser Crop.
Brilliant. Excellent stuff. Gents, I will put all of that information in the episode description as well, so our audience can go away and listen to that off the back of listening to this episode. And before we go, if you would like to join myself and my friends here, who hopefully will come back at some point, on an episode of the Producers Pub here, the Inside the Mix podcast, please do head over to insidethemixpodcast.podio.com or Inside the Mix podcast, or alternatively, nice and easy, click on the link in the episode description and get signed up and join us discussing your music, play some of your music you've got coming out, and also get to chat and meet other producers. Gents, folks, it's been an absolute pleasure. It is a Sunday evening, so I'm going to sign off and I will speak to you all again very soon. Whoa! Before you go, make sure to snag your free test master from Synth Music Mastering. Imagine enhancing your music with my steadfast dedication to quality and that personalized touch. And here's the kicker, it's absolutely free, no cost at all. Simply head over to synthmusicmastering.com or click the link in the episode description to claim your free test master.